flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Rach is back from Japan.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back. Thanks. Congratulations on your dual citizenship.
Oh, thank you so much.
Konnichiwa.
I don't know why I feel weird. I've been here the whole time. Just weird having you back.
It's good to be back. I don't know. Like, you are away for a week, and it just feels like so much longer, and then I'm back in the building, and it's like nothing ever changed, except now you're telling me it does feel like things changed, and I feel a little weird about it.
How was the ice and snow there?
No, there was no ice, no snow. It was like a high of 50 every day. It was
nice.
Pretty wonderful. Oh, got nice. To avoid a lot of bad weather here.
I will say that those kinds of trips, I wonder if it's the same for you, is it does feel like an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Like when you're out of the country and you're like, when we're in Italy, like it's like nothing's happening in the old world, your old world, and then you're just out in a new world. And when you go back, you're like, oh yeah, crap was happening.
Yeah.
Dang, missed all that.
Yesterday, I started to feel like my normal level of anxiety again. And I'm like, why am I worried about this now? I didn't worry about it the whole time I was out of the country.
Yeah.
Well, you missed quite a week. Evidently, both Wheeler and I had Long John Silver's over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It did. It did me in, too, boy.
Completely unrelated.
Yeah.
What happened?
You separately both went to Long John Silver's.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
I think
we were talking about it. I think I put that in your head. I think I the little inception.
Could be.
Into Dave's brain.
Could be.
Because I know this originated with my mother-in-law, Janet, who listens all the way, by the way. Hi, Ma.
Hey.
She had the idea, and she was going to go pick it up, and we were, because...
She screwed us both over.
Susan and I, you know, we get home like 5:30, 5:45 on a Friday, and then she met us there with the food, and we all ate and had a good time, and I eat the leftovers again on Saturday, and I think it messed up my reflux
now
pretty bad.
The leftovers is a bridge too far.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. You got to either finish that stuff up or throw it away.
That was too much to finish the first time.
Yeah, you throw it away.
Soggy?
No, because you reheated it in the oven. It was really good. It tasted just like it did the first night. And it was not out or anything like that. It went from box, you know, right from like being taken out what you want and putting it in the fridge. So it's not like it was left out. It wasn't bad. It's just that it was greasy because it's Long John Silver's. And that jacks up my reflux once in a while.
I knew what I was getting into, but I chose the fries over the coleslaw.
Oh, they're both good.
But everything was brown. Everything was the same color.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You're just like looking
Hush
at
puppies,
it. And you're
fries,
like,
and fish, right? You went fish or chicken?
I went both.
Oh, did you? Good call.
Two
good
of
call,
each.
Yeah.
I have reflux listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
Here's what's bad.
It's good, though.
When you're halfway through eating your chicken, and then realize that it's been fish the whole time.
They
happened to me.
Yes. They are very similar.
They're that very similar.
Yep.
There's no
doubt.
It does
happen.
It's still good. I mean, look, we're going there because we want to eat batter.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want the fried batter. That's the good part.
It's good, but you can't do it a lot.
Well, no.
You just can't.
Obviously, I found out I can't do it 2 days in a row without reflux kicking
two
me in the ass.
2 days in a row is nuts.
Yeah.
Oof.
But really, you never hear
Live
anybody
and learn.
Talk about going to Long John Silver's.
I know.
So the fact that the two of you went on the same day and you didn't plan it is nuts.
Pretty weird. Ivan chose it over the captain. Captain
oh,
D's.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the same, though, right? Like, basically.
Yeah.
Are there slight differences?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've been to both.
It's
but
an
I
art,
haven't,
not a science.
I haven't been to both close enough to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all fried fish. Fried fish is good.
No argument
Any
there.
Any place that's got hush puppies, I'm in.
Speaking of fried fish, the DGS Catholic Fish Smackdown's coming right up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
The good
oh,
stuff. Yeah.
I forgot we're at that time. I feel like we just had it.
I know.
We're 5-6 weeks? Whoa. March 7th is the opening date. We're going to kick it off with the always lovely Queen of All Saints Church.
Nice.
Some of our absolute favorites. And it's going to... ICD took it home last year, but they seem... They seem a little less confident this year. I'm just saying. I'm throwing the gauntlet down.
Really?
Ah.
They won last year, but they seem less confident this year?
Did they
I'm
lose
just saying.
Their top fishmonger or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, how odd.
I'm just saying. I offered them a date, and they were like, let's do a different date instead for a few different reasons. I'm like, okay.
Feeling that date.
All right.
What is a fishmonger?
It's like the butcher, but for fish.
Yeah, that's the that's what I think that's what it's called.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever heard the term fishmonger.
You see, you know the classic like guy in a market stall with a bunch of fish, and he's
catching
going,
fish
here.
In newspaper.
Yeah. Fish yeah. here. That's a fishmonger.
That's a monger.
Fish here.
I guess I don't know that
fish
guy.
Wow,
I had never heard it that way.
You know, one of my ex girlfriends got married to one of those Seattle fish throwers in the Seattle
really?
Marsh. Yeah, she did way better.
I love
than
those
me.
Guys.
They're awesome.
Sorry.
No, she did way better.
I can see why
she really
left
traded
you.
Up.
Yeah, yeah I would have left you too for one of them.
She left Roger for a monger.
Yeah. The thrower's not a monger.
That's what it says.
I think they're all mongers.
It's someone
they're
that sells
mongers.
Fish.
Oh. Yeah, they're all mongers.
Well, she did better.
There are other kinds of mongers we won't discuss.
Yeah.
So, Rach, highlights?
Biggest highlight was probably going to the sumo tournament again.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. I think, man, if there was a way like the whole show could go together, we would have a blast. It's just such a
Do
great
they
time.
Ever go on tour?
Yeah, they're actually going on tour. They're going to be in Paris and London. So
there we go.
They're
That's
not going to do like an actual basho.
Let's all go to Paris.
They just do like an exhibition thing in those cities. But yeah, they do go on tour. And then they tour around Japan when they're not having the tournament.
Do we
too.
Have the sport here?
We
Americans?
Do. There's actually, I believe there's a sumo community here in St. Louis. I haven't really
get
looked
out.
Into it, but I've
we
seen
get
people
on the show.
Post about it on Reddit and stuff. Yeah that'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
That's cool. Who knew?
Hmm.
There's a whole website and everything.
Yeah, it's just me on the front
the
page.
St. Louis Sumo?
No, we gotta get this guy. I don't know. It's just called the U.S. Sumo Open.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you play the song that you sang?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Okay, she did karaoke?
Yeah, this was, I put this on the show sheet. I overcame a huge fear of mine, which is I've always been so terrified to sing karaoke. But like it's big in Japan. They have karaoke like studios all over the place. And you go and you're in a private room and you're just with your group and they send food and drinks and you can have like a private karaoke experience.
She was asking me before she left. She's like, what song would be in my wheelhouse? I said,
like, what's
well,
an easy song?
Yeah, what's an easy song? So I was giving her a few. I was giving her like Beatles. You know, everyone knows that. You can sing along. She went a different direction.
And here I go. There's a... No.
Good call.
That's gutsy.
That's a great choice,
actually,
though.
I was asked to sing this song, and I had had enough drinks, so I was like, all right, I'm going for it. And I think it went pretty well.
Was it go for like 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Like, once I started, I'm like, oh, this is like a 8-minute song.
Did you get to the, screamy part?
Yes.
Oh,
did you do
so
the
great.
Whole 10 minutes?
Yeah, I did the whole thing.
Wow.
It was fun.
Dude, I'd run out of breath on that one. 10 minutes, jeez.
There's a lot of time to rest. There's a lot of
that's
like,
true. That's a good
time
point.
To go to the bathroom.
Do you have to do like air guitar when there's solos and stuff, or can you just stand there and so?
Yeah, I pretty much just sat there and was like,
That means that while you were just standing up there silent, people are just staring at you.
No,
while you're doing nothing.
The thing that's great is you're sitting in a booth, so you don't even have to stand in front of people. It's way better. I think I'd be way more nervous doing it
up on a stage.
Like, yeah, at a stage at a bar here or something. But it was just like just with our group.
Could you hear the other rooms?
You could hear the other rooms when you got up to go to the bathroom. Mm. And that was a fun experience, just, you know, walking by and hearing people singing like Van Halen or whatever.
Mm.
It was fun. Nice. But no, it was a very, very wonderful trip, but I'm glad to be back on the DGS.
Good. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
Were you just in Tokyo?
Yeah, just did Tokyo this time.
Oh, I really want to go there.
It's pretty great. You would love it.
Very busy.
Very busy.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I love busy places.
I'm the same way, and there's nothing better than like.
What?
It's weird. It just sounds like when you say like I'm into that.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, I'm really into that.
You like cities is what you mean to say is you like cities. You like hustle and bustle.
Not all cities are made alike.
That's
this
true.
City's not that bustling.
We are the Tokyo of the Midwest.
Yeah, look out
Didn't
the window. There's
that?
No bustle.
It's a B-minus Tokyo right here.
Definitely no hustle.
Yeah, B-minus. Interesting grade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard about this while I was going.
I heard she gave it prematurely, apparently.
Yeah, you think?
You're allowed to reassess.
Yeah.
I would have reassessed. I would have 100% reassessed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Andrew, it's weird not having you in here.
I know. I miss being in there.
Let's switch.
I like it. I would be fine with. I want us to get like a. You know how you guys have the servant in here doing all this stuff. I would like to have that so that
the
I could
servant.
Yeah, like Drew or
that's
James.
Well, I think that's you.
Yeah,
I know.
You're the servant.
I know. I am. I would like to have one of my own that I could be in there and run the board.
What a strange start to the show.
Is there ever a normal one?
Chris is like, I like busy cities. And then
I want a servant.
He wants a servant of his very own.
I didn't know they had servants in radio.
Why do you want said servant?
So I could run the board.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I like running the board. It's fun. And it's fun to like be in there. And like I feel like I miss so much in here because it literally I'm for those not watching and listening, which is everybody. I'm in like a little glass soundproof room, completely separate from everybody.
We can
else.
See you though.
Yeah, I can. We can see each other, but like when the mics go off, I can't hear like what's going on in there. And it always looks like everybody's having like a lot of fun.
That's because
like,
we are.
Everybody's like laughing and slapping the table and pointing at me. I don't know what they're talking about, but
there are several times a day Andrew will text me and be like, "What are y'all talking about in there?"
Yeah, like,
are you talking about off air because right now people think you're not listening to the show.
Yeah, like during commercials, like I'll like text Rachel and be like, "What are you guys doing?"
But like you're not you on guard fun? During commercials, right? You could just come over here.
I could, but then, like, so I usually will only go into that room if, like, I need to tell somebody something or if I need to, like, move something around or put something somewhere. So there is definitely the thing where when I walk in there, everybody, like, turns and looks right at me. Like,
what do you need?
Yeah, what's going on? What do you need? What are you in here? And then I'm just like, I'm just hanging.
Can I think you're overblowing that.
I'm just hanging.
Well, it's also
probably.
Like,
I do that with everything.
If you came in every break and just hung out, it wouldn't be. Like, oh, what do you need? It's just when it's rare, you're like, oh, Andrew's here. He doesn't do that.
There is stuff
I got to hear Wheeler talk about muffins.
That's what I was going to say is this is how I feel like that plays out. Andrew hits the talk back to Rachel and says, what are you guys talking about in there? And Rachel probably says, Kevin's just still talking.
Yeah.
Kevin's just still going.
Remember what we were talking about 2 seconds ago in the segment? It's more of that.
Yeah, it's just continued.
It's Kevin.
It's just kept going.
Well, at least you're not like the vision of doom, like the newsroom. I feel like if any of the news reporters leave something in the studio and they have to sneak in here to get it, as soon as Maria Kina or Megan Lynch opens the door during a segment, I'm like, something horrible has happened. Mm. Like, that's my first thought is... Someone from the newsroom is coming into the studio during our show. Something horrible is happening.
It really does throw you off, right?
Yes.
Like, they don't mean to do that, obviously. But, like, when they come in here, because, again, they almost never do unless they have something horrible
like
has happened.
News.
Right.
Yeah.
And they need to tell us about it. So when they're just coming in to, like, get their mug or whatever, it's like...
Well, Maria, poor thing, comes in like Kramer, too, because it's hard for her to move that door. It's so heavy.
She's so little.
So she just comes flying through.
To, like, throw her whole body in.
We have a really heavy door, and poor Maria's so tiny that she has to
and then
put her shoulder
into it. I've
noticed
this. So I always make eye contact with her, and she does the no. She'll say no and make the no gesture like it's nothing big, it's okay.
Yeah.
But she just comes flying in yelling no. And you're like, no.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, man.
Whatever you don't want to happen, that's not going to happen.
Or you guys probably have this. If Tom Ackerman leaves a jacket or water bottle in here and he comes in, I'm like, oh, my gosh, we traded somebody. Like, I just assume the Cardinals traded somebody.
Blues traded somebody.
They did. Scott Perunovic.
Yeah.
Got a fifth-round pick.
That's right.
Yep. Just traded his contract away is all they did. Frees up a little cap space. So never know. Might mean there's room for something else.
Anything at all in Cardinal land?
Nope. Dead quiet because everything's tied to Nolan Arenado and that market hasn't moved yet. Bregman is still a free agent and therefore nobody's made the move on Nolan. Let me know, I'm just making my play.
122 DGS on KMOX. Rach, we have a new segment on the show.
Oh, what is it?
It's called The Rabbit Hole.
Okay.
So we had Michael Kelly on, and I was asking my in-the-zone existential questions. He's like, oh, we're really going down the rabbit hole. Boom, there you go. DGS Rabbit Hole.
Very nice.
You guys ready for today's?
Yes.
What is your purpose? Yours. Now I'll go first, okay? So, not your special purpose.
Not a special.
Just your purpose.
I found my special purpose.
Not that. We all have the same one. Has anyone got one before I jump in? That was just a really good
question. I would like you to define it a little bit better.
Yeah, it's kind of a big question.
I know. That's why it's called
the rabbit hole. Well, your answer may do that.
Yes. So, not being a religious person anymore, which I really miss, Amy. I'm going to tell you that. I sat vigil with a Catholic couple, and it was just so comforting. So, set that aside for a moment. I would say my purpose in life is to, and this is going to sound very douchey, but it's true, is to grow and evolve personally, mostly because I feel like I've made some really bad mistakes and some really bad decisions. And absent salvation, all I can do is learn from those mistakes and finish stronger than I started. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I want to take care of my kids. I want to be the best professional I can be. But when it comes to purpose, if I die and I'm in front of some sort of tribunal of elders and they say, like, what was your purpose? I would say, well, I really tried to finish stronger than I started. How'd I do? So that would kind of be my definition. Rach, how about you?
I'm pretty similar. I just to try to keep getting better and keep growing and evolving and to do as little harm as possible. It's impossible to do no harm, but to, you know, try. Sometimes I struggle with being on the radio a little bit because it's like, I don't really want to fire off a hot take and hurt someone who's listening. Like, I don't know if anybody can relate to that. If you're like worried about like, I don't want to offend people. I don't want to make people feel bad. I don't want to, it's not about like being disliked. It's more about like, I don't want to say the wrong thing that's going to put someone in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a struggle from time to time. So I just try to choose my words as carefully as possible and be as fair as possible. And yeah.
Wheels?
I'd have to go with the overall philosophy. Like if I'm looking at a purpose, if you're going to start with one word, it would be the balance of enjoying what you have because you're here and then it's over. And we don't know for sure. There may be something after that and it may be pretty amazing and may not be, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how much can I do now, not just for me though, for me and for family members and friends and people around me and even people I don't know. I mean, I think it just kind of spirals outward. But it's a balance of, you know, doing things that will help you enjoy your life more and in turn pass that out to others too in some way, even if it's little, whether it's a big thing, little thing, whatever, because I don't think you can do it all and I'm not trying to do it all.
You can't do it all, can you?
No, you can't. Because if you
it's something I've realized, I've known that my whole life, but it's something that really settled in the past year or so.
Yeah, it's hard. Look, you can be all about other people, but you also then lose yourself and you forget about yourself. And maybe some people do that really well. My uncle John is a Catholic priest. He does everything for everybody else and he's great about it. And like that's his life and that's what he loves. He loves doing things for other people. I think that is commendable, but also not something everybody can do. I don't think everybody's wired that way. I think most people are wired in a way where at least some of that time's got to be just about you. And because if you are not your best, you cannot help other people as much as you would like to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the balance of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Amy?
this is a question, obviously, that's something that I think about a lot, talk about a lot. I am a Christian, a born-again evangelical Christian, to be more specific, a Bible-believing Christian. So I believe in Jesus and the God of the Bible. So with that in mind, because I do believe the Bible is real, I do try to live every day with an eternity mindset. So my purpose is to love the Lord my God, honor him, and to tell people about him. Now, a lot of people don't want it and they don't want to hear about it. And I get it. And I have, for whatever reason, been put in circles that I would say are not just non-religious, but probably hostile towards Christianity. Look at faith in the Bible, believing in Jesus as backwards, pathetic, and uneducated. And I get that. But like I said, I know the Lord personally. I do have certainty. And when you do have certainty and you do love the Lord, you do want to tell people about it. And in fact, it's an obligation, right? And it's knowing, how do I live in a way that honors God, is attractive to others? Because when I mess up, I'm a bad reflection of the Lord, and that's hurting my purpose. And so for me, you know, focusing on the Lord every day, I feel what Rachel said about struggling with this job. You know, the Lord says, be slow to speak and quick to listen, which is the opposite of this job. And I'm like, man, how do I do this job and still fulfill my purpose? And it's frustrating with politics, with, you know, disagreements or hateful comments. So, you know, praying every day, okay, Lord, you put me here. This is where I am now. And how can I honor you and how can I be a light? But my purpose is 100% rooted in Christ and wanting to share the gospel.
It's kind of screwed you on that one, Ron.
Well, I don't, yeah, that's not my answer.
revenge on fishmongers.
She didn't steal your answer?
No, she did not steal my answer.
Revenge.
I kind of feel like I'm in an Airbnb, just leave the place better than I found it.
Hey, I like that.
And then put the dishes in the thing.
That's important. That's very important.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before DGS on KMOX, happy Monday. Other than algebra, unless you actually did use it, what's something you guys learned in school and you've never used? Would you say most things?
Like used for practical purposes, right? Because some of it has helped, like, understand a thing, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I haven't used physics or geometry. But understanding those things can actually help me in sports, for example. Like understanding that it's angles and application of force. I don't actually use the math. I don't use any of that. Some other smarter people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic understanding comes back. So, not a whole lot.
Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah, that.
Do you think that's a thing that our education, if done well, is sort of sneaky and in the background? That we may not feel like we're using things, but we have like this 3-foot thick base of snow that we're building on all the time?
I think that's kind of the point of why it's set up the way it is, right? And then it's also kind of like a trial and error thing, because you find the things that you end up being good at and like, and you explore those more when you move on to later years in high school and then into college, when you kind of have an idea of what really is attractive
that's
to you.
That's like lots of brain muscles, the ability to focus even if you don't like it, right? Discipline, different parts of your brain quite literally like light up, right, and are activated when you're doing math or certain problems. So it's not even just that, well, I haven't used that specific mathematical theorem. It's that you were able to exercise those muscles and gain skills and strengths that you otherwise wouldn't have had.
Being the dumb sports guy, I think of it in a sports term, but like being a baseball player it's his own thing. But if you don't do like the very basic fundamental workout things, if you don't do squats, if you don't do sprints, if you don't lift weights, if you don't do all of that, the baseball player part is hard. Well, you still have to do all that underlying stuff. You have to have balance and speed and explosion and strength to be able to do it. And I think that's what the basic education starts with. Here are all of these things that you might need a lot of, you might need a little of, you might not need much of it, but doing it all is what sets up the rest.
Other than math, I can't think of something that I didn't even really learn math because I can't. But if there, I can think of a thing that I wished I had studied harder and then pursued more of it in college. And if I had known I was going to do baseball stuff for a while, I really would have gone after it, which is speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Learning Spanish in high school, I had to take a couple of years of it. It was required. I would have taken more if I would have been able to have conversations with mm-hmm. players whose first language is Spanish.
Right.
They might speak a little English, but they can't always convey exactly what they mean with nuance mm-hmm. without speaking Spanish. So that would have been super useful. And the amount of people I ended up knowing whose first language was Spanish.
Yeah.
So I wish I had done that more.
And foreign language would probably be an answer you'd get from a lot of people. Ah, I had to take a year of Spanish or whatever, and it was stupid, and I hated it. Yeah, but it's still, you learn something, and it opens up, as Amy put, I think Amy put it a good way, but and we talk about it a lot, Dave, about making those connections in your brain, right?
Yeah.
You're making connections that maybe down the road can be beneficial to you. And even if it's not specifically using that thing, but your brain being wired to understand a certain thing can help you with something that might seem unrelated to you that you can't foresee.
Rach told me something interesting today. I took her over for breakfast to hear about her trip, and she was saying that how much she wants to really learn to speak Japanese. And it's not just different words, and you can flesh this out, Rach, but it's not just different words, it's different thinking. That we start with the subject and then branch out. And in Japanese, you start with the global mm-hmm. and then you bring it down to you. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And I know enough to say that, but that's about all I know. I just know that when there's a direct translation, it's not really a direct translation. And there are plenty of phrases that it's like there is no direct translation. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to infer what's going on. But yeah, it is a different way of thinking.
I see why it's so attractive to you. Besides just the history, like Rach was saying, that you know Tokyo is multiple times the size of New York, correct?
It's like 136 million people.
Yeah, and that it's so it's so clean.
Yeah,
and I said how, and she said personal responsibility
has to be
like everyone just tries harder.
If you walk by a shop, you will see the owner of that shop outside of it, like sweeping the street and picking up little bits of trash.
What?
Like the highest person will do the lowest job to make sure everything is being done correctly.
And I know in any free society, democratic society, there's a tension between freedom and virtue because, you know, forced virtue isn't virtuous and so forth. Freedom without virtue isn't free. However, what you were saying that in some ways, like you love so much about Japan, but there are some things that make you feel a little uptight. Are there strong punishments for if you were to litter?
Or, you know, I actually don't know the answer to that. I don't know if it's like illegal to litter. I just would never do it because I don't like to litter here.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to be the only person, especially like a foreigner, doing something like that. But yeah, I don't know if there's like if like a cop would stop you and say something to you mm-hmm. or if it would just be like, oh, come on. Like everyone, it's more of like a social contract that mm-hmm. everyone has agreed to. It's like, hey, this is the way we do it. Like people are just more on the same page culturally than we are here in the United States.
What are the cops like? Are they sort of like bobbies in England?
I mean, I haven't come across too many. My biggest experience is like being outside like the sumo stadium and having people like directing traffic and stuff. But there, I wouldn't say there's like a heavy police presence in Tokyo. It's just a safe place.
As far as what you're talking about, I think the reason it doesn't happen is Americans are, we do a lot of things well. I don't think we do social contracts all that well.
No.
Because everything is individualism. Mm. Everything is individualism. And we sort of look down on community. Like there are community efforts and people who are really into it. But for the most part, our attitude is like, well, I can do whatever I want.
Did we have it?
I have that freedom.
And lose it? Or did we build it on individualism?
I don't think we ever. No. Well, I didn't live during a time where we had it if we did.
Well, think about the lead up time that you have building a culture. I mean, Japan has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And that culture has been built upon all that time. Ours is new. Everything here is brand new. Well, I mean, we're a couple hundred years old, you know?
We were built, yeah, but I mean, people escaping persecution, people who, everyone who came here, and even today, still in a lot of ways, have been betrayed by their own governments. It's why we're almost pathologically, you know, distrustful of government. And, I mean, these were factions of people who were coming from countries and kingdoms that had just been ravaged with war and disagreement and imprisonment.
Disease.
Yeah, and so when they came here, you know, even like the founding fathers and the colonies, you know, they were... even the colonies were distrustful of each other because you had, like, you know, the Catholic colony and then you had the Baptists and everybody was insane. And so I do think even the first people to come over here before you had the American colonies when they were just settling, they were kind of crazy individualist risk takers. Our country was founded on risk taking and individualism. And that's why so, like, for good and for bad, we are pathologically individualistic here.
Do you think we know that, the average person?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think if you frame the question, that you might get the answer. I'm not sure that anybody's just thinking about it that way.
Because I bet we think, overall, the normies out there, that we're one for all and all for one, and we're America and we'll kick your ass. And I think we have an aggressive form of we're all in.
Yeah.
But I think
it's only if somebody from the outside is attacking us. That's when we're unified.
Other than that, good luck to you, but I'm over here.
But otherwise, we're competitors.
So really, it's been, what, right after 9/11, right during World War II?
Yeah.
And I mean, when else has that happened? We actually had a war against ourselves.
I mean, it might have been right after the Civil War, where there was a period where it was like, all right, let's all get along. You know, we're going to be quiet for a while. I mean, we do kind of go in and out of that.
I think, I think it probably depends on how you phrase the question, but I think if people stepped back, the whole, like, think of the stereotypical America. I mean, that's all about being, like, the individual. We love cowboys. We love Top Gun because it's a maverick. You know, the guy that doesn't conform, the guy that rides off into the sunset by himself.
We do have a lot of that, don't we? The individualistic heroes.
Oh, my gosh. That's our culture.
Forget the law. I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah, and like I said, for good and for bad. Like, I mean, America's done great things, and there are, you know, areas where we can definitely be better. But I think most Americans, if they stepped back and gave themselves an honest assessment, would say, oh, yeah, you know, America!
We have moments where we can take care of each other, and we do, but it's not our everyday, it's not our default.
But the thing is, too, like we were talking, in some cultures where you don't want to draw attention to yourself or you are trying to fly under the radar, sometimes you don't stand up for what's right. I mean,
were we just talking about that during the break?
Well, there's something stuff that happens
in Japan. Or is it on air that we talked about that?
It was off the air.
Like the guys that will be in particularly in train stations, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
they will intentionally run into women because they like doing it and knock them down. And I said, well, don't any of the other men like see that and go, no, that's not happening. And the answer was,
Not really, because
it's not acceptable. And I'm like, here, that would immediately be somebody jumping on
or
somebody.
Or in India, there were really crowded trains and women were getting sexually assaulted. Nobody did anything.
Yeah.
So again, it's one of those where you can break down the individualistic nature and the communal nature and you can find pros and cons. And, you know,
I mean, like I said, we have moments where we can stick up for one another, but also we have moments where a person is getting attacked, and instead of helping, we just film it with cameras.
Yeah. I mean, like that person who got set on fire in the subway.
But there are other places where we would sometimes think, like when we were talking about the example of Japan, right? Nobody's littering. People aren't leaving trash around. They clean up after themselves, but they also just look the other way when women are getting knocked to the ground by random guys.
Like, I mean, that's a pretty big general. I don't know if every man is looking at the... And like I said, I've never witnessed this happening.
It's
just something I've read about on the internet.
I say that there are... Each of these other places has their weaknesses as well as their strengths. And sometimes we only see a strength and we only see our own weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have both of them, right? We have our strengths and our weaknesses and it works for us. It's the same way if you go to the UK, that's not perfect. There are going to be things they do better than us, and there's things about their culture that's better than ours, and there are going to be things that are worse. And that'll be true basically anywhere.
It's not just to make this the whole hour about Japan, but I'm curious, their entertainment, is it different than ours as far as like less sex, less violence, more this, more that?
So I only know what I see on television when I'm at the hotel. And there's a lot of shows that are like, it's a panel basically, and they will be watching another show and reacting to the show.
On TV?
On TV.
So not just YouTube, but yeah. Literally TV.
Yes.
Wow.
So
taking
it's like
YouTube to the air.
Wow. Yep.
Like watching something and then like, Even if you're focused on the show that's being shown, there's always like a little box in the corner of someone's face and they're like giving a reaction to it. So it's a very like social, it's a way for people to feel less lonely. Like you feel like you're watching television with another person because other people are reacting.
One more question.
Yeah.
Do you sense, I doubt this is something you would just know, but the way that we're almost constantly, incessantly, Gen Alpha, Gen Z, the millennials, do they have that as well? Like generational gaps?
I think there are some generational gaps because I think they have a similar problem to the U.S. Well, I know that people aren't having babies, and that's like a huge problem, and the population is not doing so well. But that's about the extent I know about it. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Hey, no, you're not.
Damn it, Rachel.
Come
you're
on.
A citizen now, and you don't know the rules.
So wait, like a show like, is it Shogun? Is that the Japanese
Shogun,
show?
Yeah. That show is awesome.
Is that a Japanese show?
Like, I believe that was produced like in the United States.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But I thought it was, it's subtitles, right? It's in Japanese?
Most of it is in Japanese.
A lot of it is Japanese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to be
the new
more
version
authentic.
Of it, yep.
Cool. 153 DGS on KMOS. Going to be a great week here up into the mid-50s. Andrew, I feel terrible. You were the belle of the ball while Rach was gone. Now she's back, and it's all about Rach in Japan. So let's go around the horn and ask you questions about Alton, Illinois. So,
sure.
Well, do you find the movies to be similar to St. Louis? Or?
We do definitely have a problem with not helping women that need it. I'll tell you that much. That's all of that is true.
Fiercely individualistic.
Crazy stuff going on trains. All of that is true for... We tend to collect the worst from each culture around the world and then distill it.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And then distill it.
You had the tallest person ever.
We did. Thank you so
pretty
much
awesome.
For asking.
Robert
oh my gosh,
Wadlow.
Robert.
Wait, that was an Alton? He was from Alton?
Yes.
My dad worked with his brother.
I didn't know that.
You really
you
didn't know
about the
that?
Alton Giant?
No, I mean, I've never heard
of
that.
We talk about it all the time.
I mean, I know who Robert Wadlow is. I've always known that since I was a little kid.
It's like the main thing we have.
We took a field trip to Alton to see the statue.
It's impressive.
Yeah, we got the statue.
Yep.
It's still there. You could still, like, you know,
is it as big as the
musical
statue?
It's life size, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
his real life is, wow, man.
And there's a big chair that you can sit on. Not clear if it was his chair or if it's just a big chair. I never really.
This is what he probably would have sat on.
Exactly. Yeah. If he had
it's
a
awfully
big,
large.
Yeah. If he had a big chair, he probably would have sat on it like this.
It's just like those tourists, like the country store looking big chairs.
Yes.
It is exactly
is it
like
true?
That.
Or urban legend that he died of an infection from rubbing his shoe on his foot? That's what I always heard.
I
thought it was his heart.
Yeah, I thought it was his... I'm not 100% certain, but I thought that it was his heart,
and he was still growing.
He was still growing. I believe
he was a young man.
28?
Something like that. Maybe younger.
Maybe younger.
I thought he just died from bigness.
Just bigness? Just get too darn big?
Yeah.
Bumped his head on the ceiling?
No, hey, look.
Thanks, Granite City.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, he died due to a septic blister on his right ankle.
Well, I mean, they don't know.
They don't challenge a boy from South Roxana.
Yeah, you
not
nailed
when
it
comes
dude.
To big ones.
Andrew knew it, man.
The, is that what they taught you in Granite City?
Died from being a big boy.
That's because he had a poorly fitted iron brace that he
boys,
needed.
Boys, you don't want to get too big. That's what happened to Robert Wadlow.
Yeah, he came to Namioki once. He's awfully big.
He was 5'10" when he was 7.
Yeah. There's only two things we talk about. We talk about how tall he was when he was 7. That's a big topic of conversation. And then we talk about where the floodwaters went up to.
Mm-hmm.
We got that line.
How far it would have gone up on Robert Wadlow.
Exactly. We got that line on the building.
It was
so,
3 Wadlows deep, I'm telling you.
What was
my brother's fiance, who's from Portland and now lives in Los Angeles with him, she loves to make fun of the line whenever she comes back because we always are quick to point out to her, like, look. Look, that's the line. That's where the water actually was. And I remember her asking, like, so was the water, like, all the way up to, like, you guys' house back in 93? And we were like, oh, no, we lived, I mean, up in the hills. I mean, obviously the water.
It was at the line. What do you not get?
The water didn't, I mean, none of Alton is, like, built where the water was. It's all way up higher into the elevation.
So
and she's like, Then why do you guys talk about it all the time? I'm like, because it was a,
I was dating, a lot of water. I was dating a girl during that time. I think it was 93. And I took her over to meet my mom and dad. And we're coming back across the river, and it was all up on the arch grounds. And she said, how high would it have to get to be over the top of the boats?
The boat.
I thought you were going to say the arch.
No, it took, but it okay, took me a minute.
Over the top of the boat.
It was so stupid, it took me a second. I'm like, pretty damn high, I think.
And a little rough.
Three, four Wadlows.
Yeah.